Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Our next guest is going to be on the Westwood One call of Browns and Ravens with J.P. Shadrick on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former NFL GM, formerly NFL Network, now with Westwood One, the great Mike Mayock joins us. Mike, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, guys. How you doing?
Very, very good. How was your new year? Did you get everything you wanted for the holidays as well?
We had a great party on Christmas Eve, and there are a lot of Mayocks running around Philadelphia, and we managed to get a bunch of them together at one time, so it was fun.
This is your present at the end of the year. This is how you're going to start the new year with the Browns going into Baltimore as triple digits. You excited?
Do I sense sarcasm there?
A little bit, yeah, which is not new for me. I'm just curious because yesterday, at first, Kevin Stefanski said he wasn't naming a starter. Then an hour later, after his press conference, the Browns announced that Bailey Zappe will be starting. Do you see a difference in the Browns' chances tomorrow, whether it's Bailey Zappe or DTR?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We're a long way from week 8 where Cleveland upset Baltimore. From both sides, Baltimore's a much better football team, especially on defense. In all honesty, I actually do think they have a better chance with Zappe, and I didn't know much about him. I went back this morning and watched their tape at New England last year at Denver. It was probably his best game, but they upset Denver in Denver, and it looked like an NFL quarterback. I mean, he understands how to run the line of scrimmage. He understands when to take a shot down the field with single high coverage. He gave one of his wideouts a chance to win the game late against Patrick Surtain, and he put it right on the money on a back shoulder fade. So it was kind of interesting because I saw more from Bailey Zappe than I expected to see. Now, I'm not trying to tell you it's Tom Brady coming to rescue the franchise, but from what I saw of DTR, I'd much rather take a look at Zappe, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, no disagreements from us here, but the Browns are also playing for draft positioning. So there does beg the question of if it's closer than maybe even the Browns expect or think, do you think they'll pull Zappe and then say, DTR, get in there? Or do you think you just ride Zappe the entire way?
Look, I'm not in the speculation game because I don't know a GM or a head coach in the NFL that will throw a game for draft position. Now, you know, you can laugh about that, but I watched your tape the last couple of weeks, and I'll tell you, Jimmy Schwartz's guys are flying around. I mean, there's nobody missing tackles on purpose. There's nobody taking dives. So I'm not a big fan of that conversation, but you can certainly make a case that with all the guys out this week and Dalvin Tomlinson, Tomlinson just getting downgraded, and, you know, they're not put, they don't have the same team that they had in week 8 for sure.
Mike, we agree. We think the defense has really been pretty nice here recently, and yet None of the last four games have felt competitive because of where you are on the offensive side of the ball. When you've watched the Browns, do you think this is just a quarterback issue, or do you think there are maybe bigger issues to kind of fix as you go into 2025 for the Browns?
I think big picture, if you don't have a franchise quarterback in the NFL, and there's only about five or six of them, if you don't have one of the guys, you're just scrambling to be a wild card. And that's why they swung and missed on Deshaun Watson. And that's why it set the franchise back so far. So it starts at that position. And right now they sit at number three in the draft position. And I don't know what the conversation is in Cleveland. The way I look at it is, you know, they just restructured Deshaun Watson's contract. They put some voidable years. So he's going to be around. And they're trying to string that thing out as long as they can to bring the cap hit down each year. So the best-case scenario, if you're a Browns fan, I think, is that you get a quarterback you fall in love with in the draft. And if you lose the game this week, worst case, you got the third pick in the draft. And I don't think this year's college group is anywhere near the level of last year's college group, but a college quarterback, given the salary cap situation and everything else, is the logical place I think you'd like to land heading into next year.
So tell us what you know about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and the differences there, and then maybe even sprinkle in whether or not you think J.J. McCarthy would be better than either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, the first four quarterbacks last year, you know, the kid in Cleveland, Jaden Daniels, the kid in New England, and Michael Penix. Those four, I haven't finished my grades on this year's quarterbacks yet, but I don't think any of this year's quarterbacks will come be what those four were a year ago. I think that was a rare class, and we haven't seen a group of guys like that since the Joe Burrow year in 2020. And most years are more like this one. And so when you talk about who's out there this year, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are very different. They're both small. You know, they're under 6'2". Shedeur Sanders is smart, high football IQ, accurate, risk-averse to turnovers. Got the crap beat out of him a year ago behind the worst O-line in the country. It wasn't a whole lot better this year. But he's smart, and he's very accurate at all three levels. Cam Ward is really fun to watch because he's one of the few college quarterbacks that it's not all lateral based. He wants to push the ball down the field. He's not afraid to take shots. He's not afraid to use his athleticism to buy time to pass or run, but it cuts both ways because he can also turn the ball over. They're really an interesting conversation, the two of them. I think the kid from Alabama who just declared is really talented, but raw as can be, turns the ball over too much. And I thought the Georgia kid was going to have a much better year than he did, and he turned it over a bunch. So I think, you know, sitting here January 3rd or 4th, whatever today is, I think there are a lot more questions and answers amongst next year's quarterback class.
Mike, you're getting my draft, the draft Jones in here. So much of trying to find the quarterback, it seems like Kevin is most comfortable when running his system. And if he can run his system and apply the quarterback to that, that's when you get the most out of this offense. So I'll be curious, between Shedeur, we'll throw in Milroe there, and Cam Ward, what fits that kind of, I don't know, the Kubiak Stefanski, I guess we'll call it, West Coast offense best?
Yeah, I think Shedeur is a pretty good fit for that. I think Cam Ward is a gunslinger. He's in the gun almost all the time. His play action is just based off inside zone, a little bit of RPO. I think Shedeur is a better fit for what you're talking about, but I think Kevin's one of the smarter coaches I've met, and you know they made an OC change a year ago, and I guess part of that was trying to take care of, you know, I think that the issue you still have, which is almost impossible, is the elephant in the room, you know, with Deshaun Watson. And you know, I still have in the back of my room, my first year with the Raiders, back of my head, first year with the Raiders in 2019, we went down to Houston, and Deshaun Watson stood on his head about three different times to make plays, and we lost like 29-27 or something, and it was just because of that guy. And you haven't seen him. Cleveland has not seen that guy. And he's still going to be on the roster. He's still going to be in the building. Will he be a bridge to the next quarterback? I don't know, because a guy like Milroe, I think, needs a bridge a little bit, you know, like Penix this year. So I'm just kind of spouting stuff off the top of my head because it's still early in the draft process, and I don't think there are any real answers today for the Cleveland quarterback situation.
With the lack of picks the Browns have had, they've loaded up for this year. You got a ton this year, I think third most in the NFL. Andrew Berry, you know, you gave away three first-rounders and six total picks for Deshaun Watson. Do you feel like Andrew Berry has a drafting problem, or has he not had enough capital to be able to draft successfully?
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I don't, not being in that building, I have no idea who drove the Deshaun Watson trade. Don't know. Don't know if it was ownership. Don't know who was on board or not on board. What I do know is they haven't had a first-round pick since 21, I believe. They gave up a first-round pick in 22, 3, and 4, a third, a couple fours. I mean, this year they have nine picks. This is obviously goes without saying, if you're going to have some cap issues because of Deshaun Watson, you've got to take advantage of the draft. And this is the first year where they've got some draft capital, a couple third-round picks, a one or two. It's really interesting because if New England loses this week, they've got the first pick in the draft, and they don't need a quarterback. So New England's going to move down somewhere. And, you know, somebody's going to come up. And if you're New England, the ideal scenario is you only want to go down a couple of spots, and because you probably want that two-way player from Colorado, and a bunch of other draft picks on top of that. So somebody's going to move up, and it's going to be really intriguing to see how aggressive or not aggressive Cleveland is in the process.
Mike Mayock of Westwood One on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's going to be on the call tomorrow. Browns and Ravens. One report this week had both a Brown source and a NFL source that suggested that they believe Deshaun Watson's issues are just from the neck up. So it's not a physical thing. They still think he has the physical tools to be a really good quarterback. Does that mean that he can still find whatever he had 5 years ago? Or is when somebody says issues from the neck up, is that the most concerning thing you could say about a quarterback?
Well, I mean, if you want to look glass half full, you look at Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And you could say two similar things there. What I say is that the quarterback thing's a complicated situation. The guy was a high draft pick for a reason, and he played at a really high level in Houston. So is there talent there? Sure. Is he still young enough to play at a high level? Of course there is. So that leaves to me two things. Number one is the right fit. And I think that's what you saw with Sam Darnold in Minnesota. He and the head coach are tied at the hip together. They know what they're doing, how they're doing, and why they're doing it. And that kid's confidence is through the roof, which brings you to point number two, which is the whole confidence thing. And I don't care whether you're a golfer, or a free throw shooter, or a quarterback, confidence is huge. And if the kid doesn't have any confidence, there's a problem. And part of that is the organization, the coaches, and those people helping him get that back. So if you believe that he can be your starting quarterback next year, and there's still a ton of talent in that body, but if you believe in that, you got to do everything you can to get the most out of him. However, you better have a backup plan.
Mike, you made the jump from broadcaster to then in the chair. You talked about your time with the Raiders as the GM there. Riddick is interviewing for the job with the Jets today, and he's trying to make a similar jump. Do you feel like that's something that is way overblown with the level of difficulty, or is it the type of thing where it's like you eat, sleep, breathe football, you talk football all day, every day, and Riddick would have a real chance of turning the Jets around?
Well, I mean, Lewis, number one, is a really smart guy. Number two, he's put his time in both in the NFL, which I didn't have, He spent 7 or 8 years in a couple different organizations, and now in his background since then has been evaluating talent. So I would argue that he's got an intriguing resume. You know, if you want to look at my resume, you could say, well, you know, Mayock never spent any time in an NFL building, which is fine, but I spent 20 years in all 32 NFL buildings, figuring out what I liked and didn't like as I did my job with the NFL Network. So I was on the road with scouts. I was in NFL buildings. I was evaluating talent with GMs, scouts, coaches. So there's no one right way, I don't think. I mean, Howie Roseman was a salary cap guy, and today he's the best GM in football. So does that mean he can't evaluate talent? Hell no. He does. He's done an unbelievable job. Everybody's got their own path, and I think Lewis Riddick is a really smart guy.
Mike, excellent stuff, man. Looking forward to hearing you on Westwood One. For those of us listening to the game tomorrow, really great stuff as always. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Mike Mayock on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Again, he's on the Browns-Ravens call with J.P. Shadrick on Westwood One tomorrow. We'll react to what he had to say about the state of the Browns and some of the quarterback answers there that maybe didn't make you feel better on 92.3 The Fan.